Well, 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 good morning. It is the first day of the 11th month, you know, the first day of November. We are getting there. We almost there. Just hold on. Just keep holding on. Just hold on. We are getting there. So, yeah, this year, for some reason, I haven't seen it. I thought I was in February. The next thing I know, I'm already in November. Gosh, and what have I achieved? Let me think. Oh, man. Yeah, probably you are in the same position like myself. Yeah, well, there are a few things. There are a few things that I'm proud of myself that I have achieved. Okay, I can remember one thing now. Okay, good. Good morning, and welcome to your favorite station. Welcome to your favorite number one talk radio station in the land. You know, Eagle FM. So it's a good morning to you wherever you find yourself, and also maybe a good afternoon. It could be a good evening because you might be listening somewhere outside of the borders of Namibia. You could be in Alaska. You could be in, you know, where? You could be in Nigeria. You could be somewhere in, you know, in Israel. Well, you could be anywhere. All right. So, but you can only be able to listen to us if you have downloaded the Eagle FM mobile app. If you have that, then you can go anywhere you want and still continue to listen to Eagle FM anytime, anywhere. You will be still connected to your favorite stations. And you also be able to listen to your favorite, you know, program, to your favorite show, Mind Matter. You know, you will be able to listen to this, your favorite show, Mind Matters. My name is Mike Oshoveri, and I'm your host of this program. And we call this time from now until 1 o'clock, Mental Health Hours. We call this time a Mental Health Hours, you know, and this is your weekly show into how our mind works, and why we think, we feel, and behave in the way we do. That's what we look at here. So we normally go those into psychological patterns and social factors that affect how we think, how we feel, and how we behave and make choices in life. That's what we do here. And, well, thanks for joining us, and thanks, Mike, for making your choice at this point in time on a Saturday morning. So make sure that you feel your seat wherever you are, whether you stand or sit or sleep, you know, feel comfortable because you are in good hands. You are absolutely in good hands. How is your Saturday morning wherever you find yourself? We have a pretty good weather this morning. We actually have a pretty good weather this morning. Fresh air, you know, with rainy, cloudy kind of weather, but with fresh air. I'm not good at weather, you know, I'm not a weather man. So I might not describe it in the way the weather person would, but you see, it has that cloudy, not that cloudy hot, you know, that you're sweating and all that. It's a cloudy, rainy kind of weather with fresh air. Yeah, so that's kind of weather. And you wish that last. I wish I was sleeping. It's that kind of weather you're in the room and you don't want to really wake up, you know? Yeah, that Swakopmund kind of weather, or Wavish Bay, if you, wherever you find yourself, that have a cool weather, you know, cool, fresh wind. All right? So that's the kind of weather we have. Hopefully, where you are, it's as good as, yeah. And I'm not going to bet on it because I can tell you around probably already 1, 2, 3, the weather would probably change. We're becoming like Cape Town here. So you wake up in the morning, it's a cool weather, certain point already it's raining. And then, you know, how the weather was like in Cape Town. You wake up saying, oh, it's sunshine today. Oh, we're going to have a good weather with sunshine. Just around 11 o'clock, it's already, you know, that there's those clouds coming up from the Taper Mountain. And then it started raining. And then maybe around 7 o'clock, it's cold. You know, you never know what the weather you can get in that place. So, but it was nice being in Cape Town, you know, when I was studying at UCT. All right, welcome, welcome, welcome to Unpacking, not Unpacking Today, seriously. Hey, all right, no, this is Mind Matter. Welcome to Mind Matter. Last week, we started a pretty important conversation. So a pretty important conversation. Can our mind be trusted? If you were not here last week, you see, make sure you book your seat every Saturday from 11 to 1. Now, if you were not here last week, then you missed out, you know. Can our mind be trusted? You don't even know if our mind can be trusted. You see, you missed out. Can our mind be trusted? It's a big no. Yeah, no, we cannot trust our mind. Eh? And trust me, that's a big question. We cannot trust our mind. Are you kind of like, we can't trust our mind? Yes, we cannot trust our mind. Eh? Yeah, no, we looked at those sneaky, you know, little tricks our brain normally play on us. You know, we looked at those. You can trust your mind, but you also have to know that your mind lies to you as well. So, as I said, we looked at those, you know, those little tricks our mind, our brain play on us. You know, those moments when your brain tells you everything is either amazing, you know, or totally awful. You know, that kind of way where there's no middle ground. You know, those kind of things. It is like a filter. We talked about filtering as well, one of those that only shows you one side of the picture. You know, we're looking at those thinking patterns that we say they are distorted. You know, a distorted way of looking at things. That's what we looked at. And we look at some of those. I call them lie. But psychologically, it's referred to as a cognitive distortions, a thinking pattern, you know, those kind of thinking, a distorted way of thinking, you know. And now that distorted way of thinking can actually develop into a pattern way of thinking, you know. And in that way, without really realizing that you actually have developed this kind of way of thinking, it may then influences that how you feel. So how you think generally and how you feel and how you normally make choices in your life. So if I can give an example, we looked last Saturday at a lie like, you know, or a distortion, a cognitive distortion like jumping to conclusion, you know, that this thinking could be a thinking pattern that you have developed. You know, jumping to conclusion. No one's like me, you know? No one's like me, you know? Okay, and how did you make that conclusion? You were just texting your friends, and after one friend now didn't text you back, so you started to think no one's likes me. Do you understand? How does that actually... Now, that's now a distorted way of thinking. Just because someone didn't text you back, you have already concluded that, you know, no one actually likes you. So you see how distorted that is? And sometimes we fall in those patterns of thinking. And if they go unchecked, they become our way of looking at the world. So my whole idea now, my thing is actually then to help you actually to create that awareness for you to say, hey, maybe you have created a pattern where you have created this way of thinking, which you may not have realized that actually your brain has been lying to you, you know, and you actually then have been responding or has been feeling in a certain way that you think, well, that is true or that is factually. That is factually, but it's just based on your distorted way of thinking. even it's not only about others, it could be about yourself as well. So you may be felt like you could have been felt a complete failure. Yeah? You might have felt a complete failure just because you failed a single test. You understand? I mean, come on. One bad grade, and suddenly you are convinced your whole future is doomed. So you see that? You see how distorted that way of thinking? It's just because one bad grade, and then suddenly you are convinced that your whole life, you know, your whole future is actually doomed. I'm just giving a simple example. You could look at some other things. You could have been, you know, gone to an interview and then, you know, and feel that, you know, I will never ever get a job. So you see how that kind of thinking is distorted. And then the thing is that those thoughts are not just negative. They are distorted. They are playing tricks on you, and you seeing things through a lens that anything but clear. Eh? These distortions don't just mess with your mood. Eh? They are not just messing with your mood. They can mess with your relationship. They can mess with how you look at yourself, with your confidence. They can mess with your own, and honestly, they can mess with how you look, your entire outlook on life. So the way you look at life now, your entire outlook of life could be actually through this distorted way of thinking. Have you checked that? If they go unchecked, that's why I said, if this kind of thinking, if this way of thinking go unchecked, you're actually looking at life from a very distorted way of thinking. You're following me? So that's why I'm actually trying to help you to go into your brain and start looking at, hey, what are you telling me? Eh? Sometimes these are unrealistic thoughts that twist the way you see yourself. Is not only about outside world, but the way you see yourself as well. And it's the way you see the world. They are twisted thought. Eh? And sometimes they can make a small problem seem like the end of the world. Eh? Convince you that things are way worse than they really are. Hmm? So, and I said, when these thoughts go unchecked, now they can lead to things like, you know, they can actually destroy your relationship. Like just the example that we're talking, assuming your friends hate you just because they didn't reply to your text. And the worst could be giving up a goal. You're giving up a goal before you even try, because you're thinking, I will never be good at this. Why? And then you say, I will never. And when you're telling yourself, I will never be good at this, so definitely why bother? Do you see that? This pattern, this distorted way of thinking is one thing that I'm trying to, you know, to create awareness for you to really reflect on your patterns of thinking, because you may be actually, you know, thinking through this distorted thought. Now, this kind of thought can even make you feel sometimes, you know, can make you feel worthless. And these are those things. You started to feel worthless, or you started to feel guilty, believing that you're always failing. You know, is that sounding familiar? Is that sounding familiar for you? Yeah. So the reason this is so important is that these distorted thoughts, they don't just stay in your head. Okay? These distorted thoughts, they don't just stay in your head. They influence how you act. You know, they influence how you act, how you behave, how you make choices in your life, how, you know, these are all. You don't choose things to do things from a neutral point of view in your life. There are this system, and this system are actually dictated by the pattern that you have adopted as a way of deciding, which sometimes you don't even realize. Sometimes in a way that you might not even realize, because that it has become already a pattern within you that you utilize, you use to decide that and that. So let me even ask you, let's look at this. If you have to choose a man, if you choose to like somebody, so sometime doing that, that's going too far. Sometime when you're choosing now to buy, let's say for example, if you are thirsty, sometime you don't even think about, you don't think, okay, which, you don't sit now and think, okay, which cool drink I'm going to buy, which drink I'm going to buy. You automatically used to now, you know, Coke, for example. So your brain, it doesn't go to the process of thinking now, okay, what should I choose? So when you are thirsty, you have already created that choice as a pattern that you don't think about it. You just do it. You understand? Whatever made you to decide that choice, because, well, the Coke is whatever was the original thought that make you now decided, I have to choose Coke. Now, that process, it's the same process that you actually use when it comes to certain behavior. Now, whether now you may have to, actually, you may actually choose a Coke, but then Coke might have actually, you know, certain, it could be not good for your health. Do you understand? The Coke that you choose, I'm just saying, I'm not dishing Coke here. So I'm saying, so it may have some consequences that are not good. All right? So that's not good to your health. It's the very same way. This distorted way of thinking, which you may not even recognize that it's as such, you know, may have, that's why I said, it actually influences how you act. You know, it influences how you act. A simple thing. If you think you are going to fail a test, yeah, if you think I'm going to fail a test, now think seriously thinking that you're going to fail a test, the chances are you won't even put in effort to study. Do you see that? If you're thinking I'm going to fail this test, the chances are that you're not going to put in effort at all. You see? That way of thinking has already influenced you in the way how you approach that. So, and there are so many things that you could have been maybe done it differently, but because you have this way of thinking, because you have developed this pattern of thinking, you're only thinking in that way. So think of even stereotype that we form. Stereotype is a distorted way of, you know, of thinking about, you know, based on, it's exactly based on one thing, okay? And we're going to talk one of the fallacy, one of the lie in terms of that, you know, it's based on one thing. Let's say, for example, you know, I'm going to give an example how we actually then, instead of focusing on the behavior of that person at that point in time, we then actually create an identity for that person. Let's say, for example, a person behave, you know, I somehow behave, I'm your colleague, and then I maybe shouted at you in a way that is really make me feel, you feel like this guy's a jerk. You understand? So now you can say you are a jerk, eh? Because I behave in that way. You know, you've given me an identity, eh? That I'm a jerk. And the way now you looked at me as a jerk by one just miss, by just that behavior. Instead of looking at that, you acted like a jerk. You acted like a jerk. So there's a different way to say the way you acted really like a jerk. By then placing an identity on me by you are a jerk. You see the difference. The other one is looking at the behavior away from me, but the other one is looking, it's now placing that behavior. I am that, you're actually saying you are that behavior. And now you're looking at me in that way. And then if you're looking at me in that way, you start, your behavior towards me would definitely change. But if you're looking at me as that behavior you acted in that time, maybe that's not who you are. Maybe just because at that time you were under pressure of something, maybe there was too much work for you, whatever the case, you see, the perspective is totally different. And these are very, very, very important. And that's why, do you know why we have so many conflict in the relationship? It's how we look at, it's all about, you know, how we look, the pattern, our pattern of thinking. Our pattern of thinking. You're looking at one thing that happened and you think, you know, that's the end of the world. So I'm a complete failure. Or, you know, you know, this is what's going to happen. This, you generalize things or you personalize things, or you're only looking at things that actually are favorable for you. You see, don't you, you are favorable for you and so on and so on. So you're following. So and even in one example I can give you, if you are convinced your friend is mad at you because they didn't, you know, let's say because they didn't, you just actually, you know, your friend didn't respond and you think they're mad at you, or they are quiet and you think they're mad at you. So what happened? You may start avoiding them. So they never told you that they are mad at you. You see, you just concluded that they are mad at you. And you may start actually avoiding them. What does that do? That creates more distance, which only then fuels the negative circle. But your reaction, your behavior is not based on the truth. It's based on your thought that that's the case. In which you started actually acting on those. In most of the time, that's how we operate. So that's where we come in to say, your, you know, the bottom line of this is that your brain sometimes lies to you. All right? But the good news is, there's a good news. Don't worry. There is a good news. And the good news is, you don't have to believe everything your brain says. That's the good news. You don't have to believe everything your brain says. Now, if you can start to recognize these lies or this distorted thinking, this cognitive distortion, you can take control of your thoughts. Now, you can take control of your thought. And by extension, you know, when you're now taking control of your thoughts, by extension, now you can control your mood. You can control the way you see. Maybe you can control your relationship. You can control the overall sense of your own confidence and think. So you can be able to do that. And that's where I want you to be. All right. So today we're going to continue. We're going to continue with some of these common lies or distortion. Okay. Because the more you understand them, the more you understand them, the better you will be calling your brain bluff. You know, when it's bluffing, you can be able to say, got you. You're bluffing. You are bluffing. You are lying, lying through your teeth. You can tell that to your brain, that you are lying, you know, through your teeth. All right. So. That's what we continue, we will be continuing. I've been talking for a while now. So let's have a quick music break and then, you know, we will start
with what we got for you. Then we can start with what we got for you. So what can we... Okay. Let's have Fantasia. You know, let's have Fantasia. It has been a while. You know, when I see you. All right. Hey.
When somebody says your name, in my stomach there's a pain. See you walk in my direction, I go the other way. I start to stutter when I speak. Try to stand, but my knees go weak. What's happening to me? In the dark, can you tell me what it means? I lay my head on my pillow, staring out the window, trying to stop for a sign. The reason why. In my notebook, checking how my hair and my nails look.
I feel myself in the zone.
I get nervous when you call. I say I'm not home.
I see your face and I hear my favorite song. Should I send an email at home?
You're the number one topic on the phone. I wonder if you know, or do you have a clue?
Yeah.
I lay my head on my pillow. You got me staring out the window. Wish on a star for a sign. What's the reason?
See you. That's Fantasia. That's Fantasia with When I See You. So a very good morning to you if you're just joining us. And this is your favorite, you know, talk radio station, Eagle FM. And you just come at the right time. This is your mental health hours. Normally started at 11 o'clock until 1 o'clock. And your program, your show is Mind Matters, where we talk anything but minds, you know. So now this is also where you are most welcome to come through. If there is anything that you're concerned about yourself, especially when it's come to your emotional well-being, your psychological well-being, your mental well-being, you know, you're most welcome to come through. Whether it's something that I'm talking about at that point in time or something completely different. So I create this platform for you. Eagle FM create this platform for you to allow you, you know, to express maybe things that you may not be able to express to someone or find someone who can be able to talk to. You'll be welcome to come through and actually just have, you know,
ask your questions or contribute. We also love to, if I'm talking about something and you know, you have a better experience of what we're talking about, and your experience, you could be able to share that with some other people. Maybe they can learn from that and be able to, you know, to change. The thing is that people sometimes go through this life, go through in life thinking they are the only one who actually going through that. I'm the only one who actually going through that. Nobody can understand what I'm going through. And when they hear somebody say it, this is what I have gone through and this is what I did. And today I look at life differently, or today I'm at this point, or I went to get this help and today my life is so and so. That's what we want. We want those, you know, those testimony, those life, real life experience as well. That's why I always ask you to come through and share your experience, so that others can be able to learn, from your experience as well. So welcome. You're welcome at any time to come through and really, you know, contribute, you know, to the show, because that's what it make it more rich, you know, and that's where we are. And you all, you could be a professional, you could be a psychologist, a social worker, or any other profession, you know, and just something, okay, all right, okay, let me contribute to that, let me add to that, you know, and let me expand that, you see? So you're most welcome to do that, okay? This is a platform for everybody, all right, where we come in and also share our opinion. We don't have to be an expert, you know, just your experience. All right. So you can do that. Our telephone number. I am coming to you live from, we are now in the Great Region. The Oshana. We're coming from this Great Region of Oshana, the mighty Oshana. So, and we're coming to you from the Ondangwa studio of Eagle FM. So coming to you live. This is absolutely live. Make sure that if you want to call through, if you want to call in, just do that. 08333-66091. 08333-66091. So, and let's have a chat. Okay. Whatever is going on in your life or in someone, you know, or maybe you see someone going through something and you want to share and you may want to help them. So I always said, look, we want to chat. And if I can, I'm a social behavior specialist or analyst or a counselor. I'm a counselor as well. So, and if I can help you, I will make sure that I will look for somebody, that can help you. And you can also get my number at the end and be able to, you know, I can be able to follow up, with you and, you know, direct you where you can get help. All right. That's what we do here on Eagle FM as well. All right. Yeah. Welcome back. Let's get back. Can we trust our mind? Can we trust our brain? Yes. As I said, we have been looking at some common, pattern of thinking. Okay. It's called cognitive distortions. I call some of these common lies, the way we think, you know, these distortions, all right, because as I said, the more we understand them, the better. Now you can look at your mind and say, ha, 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 that's actually, you are bluffing. That's not true, all right? Can our mind lie to us? Can we trust our mind? Can our brain lie to us? Yes, of course, it can. Now, let's look at this, okay? It's not the lie in the way that you think. It said, okay, deliberately your mind actually looking for lies and things that, okay, I'm going to lie to you. No, it's just certain way you started. It's just certain way. It's just that a distorted way of thinking, which in itself is not factual. Do you understand? That's what we're talking about. And now look at this one. All right. If someone has said, you make me feel this way. You make me feel this way. Can somebody really make you feel anything? Now, let's look at some. You make me feel this way. Or someone say, okay, listen to this. I wouldn't be so stressed, you know? I wouldn't be so stressed if you didn't leave the dishes everywhere. You know, I wouldn't be so stressed if you didn't leave that. If you did, I'm thinking of some people, okay? I'm trying to think these realistic things, people that I know. Or you make me feel unloved, okay? You make me feel unloved, or they ruin my day. Or he ruined my day, or she ruined my day. Now, what do you think, what kind of thinking distortion is that? What kind of a lie is that? So I'm looking different. This is blame. Okay? This is blame. Now, the problem with this, okay? The problem with this, think of what I said. You make me feel this way. Or you make me feel unloved. Or you ruin my day. Or whatever the case may be. You can think of this. The problem with this is that you are giving others, you are giving other people power over your emotions. So you may not realize that, but you're actually giving other people's power over your emotions. But the big idea here is this. And I want you to take this to the bank. Take this to the bank. The big idea here is this. No one, and this is what I want you to take to the bank. No one make you feel anything. No one make you feel anything at all. You choose your responses. Even if it doesn't feel like it, you choose your responses. It is your responses. You know? And of course, yes, people can hurt you. Yes, people can be rude. Yes, people can be inconsiderate. But your emotional reaction, that's yours, my friend. That is yours. Now, when you now blame, this is now a distortion. This is the kind of distortion now, that the thinking distortion that we have. We're thinking that other people actually make us feel that way. That is actually a thinking distortion. That's kind of, that pattern of thinking, it's being distorted. You're not actually. The other person is not make you feel that way. You choose your response. You choose your reaction. But do you know where the problem lies? Do you know where the problem lies? That thinking pattern, that way of thinking has now become your way of looking at things. It has become a pattern in the way how now you act. Do you understand? That's why I said this way of thinking can influence your action, your behavior, your thinking, your emotions. It has become a pattern within you without even realizing that is what it is. So you thinking other people are the one who causing you to feel that way. As I said, certain things they say, certain things they do may trigger your reaction. It may trigger your reaction, but it is your reaction. Otherwise, why do we take people to court? Why are they caught? Why do we take to court? Why to take people? If certain things directly make us do things which are not our responsibility, then why do we have to go to God? If someone swear to me by my mother, the automatic response is actually, you know, stab that person, beat up that person to, you know, to beyond recognition. If that is the automatic response of that insult, then why should you have to go to court? Why should be judged that what you did is bad? Why would you be judged? It's because it's not an automatic reaction. That's not the automatic reaction of whatever. So when a person is rude to you, you have someone who decide they walk away. So, and there are those who decided, I'm going to be rude back. I'm going to be rude as well. I'm going to be rude to them as well. But there are those who are going to say, okay, I'm not going to tolerate this. I'm going to beat the hell out of you. You see, you have three people that are actually reacting differently to the same thing. So what does that tell you? It tells you that actually it's your way of thinking. It's not the act itself. It's not what is said to you. It's how you respond to that. And how you respond to that, that actually depends on the pattern, the system that you are employing within yourself. And one of that is this blame. It's where now you believe that your emotions actually is being created by what other people are doing to you. You're actually giving your power, you know, you're giving other people power to your emotion, to the way how you feel. Now, you have to remember that blaming keeps you powerless. Yeah? Because if they control your feeling, then you can't change them. You cannot change your feeling if there's someone else, the other people are controlling it. And I can tell you, then think of this. Why are you an emotional wreck? Why are you an emotional wreck? You're an emotional wreck because you believe that others are the one make you feel that way. And you are powerless. You can't change. You cannot change your emotion. It's being controlled by what other people are doing to you. And that's terrible because, you know, you get in the queue. Let's say you're treated by someone badly in the bank. You know, that determines how you now. That changes that they are controlling your emotions. You are angry, you whatever. You come out, you go to a restaurant, maybe you want to have a dinner. So then you are treated somehow differently there, whatever someone say, whatever they say something that is very hurtful to you, and then your mood again. So constantly, your state of, your emotional state is actually determined by what other people are doing to you. Because do you know why? You believe that they are the one that actually make you feel the way you feel. You can't change it. You're a victim. Eh? You're a victim of what people are doing to you. And now you find yourself somewhere in the corner in the house, in the bed of your room with a blanket on top of your head, you know, crying because this is what the people are doing to me. Yes, people have insulted you. Yes, people have been rude to you. Yes, people have been hurtful to you. But how you choose to react to that is yours. It's your choice. And this is what I'm trying now to, that's what I'm trying now to, I'm trying to help you to understand. All right? It doesn't mean, okay? Okay? It doesn't mean that, okay, people can hurt us and then we just, hey, all right. Okay, that didn't happen. I'm not talking you just kind of ignore. That's not what it's all about. If something is bad happened, you can just still confront it that, well, that's bad. That's happened. It hurt me. I'm not saying you still acknowledge that, yes, that hurt me. Even if it's my choice, because naturally, if something is hurtful, it's going to affect me negatively. So you understand, but I still actually to choose to continue feeling that way, or, and it's also depend on your, this is now we're looking at specific, we're looking at this thinking patterns. Okay. This distorted way of thinking. One of that is blaming. All right. Now, And I want you to shift your way of thinking now. All right? So I want you to shift the way of thinking. Instead of, so I want you to use the more I feel statement. All right? So, and I'm going to tell you why. I felt hurt. Let's say, for example, you say, I felt hurt when you didn't call. Now, I want you to see the difference. I felt hurt when you didn't call. All right? With, you made me feel ignored. For example, I felt hurt when you didn't call. And I would say, you made me feel. Now I'm saying, you made me feel, you know, you made me feel ignored. The other one, now the other one, it gives you back your power. That shift, I felt hurt. That means, you know, I own the feeling. You made me feel ignored. It means that in the state that I am, you put me in. So the first one, it gives you back your power. I felt that when this is what happened. And I can be able to change that. I am in control. So even it's just that I am in control when this happened. I am in control of my feeling when that happened. Okay, it made me feel. That's how I felt. But when you say you made me feel, that means I'm not in control. You are in control. You are the one who made me feel this way. I'm not in control of that. So from now on, use I feel statement, you know, because that actually put in control is something you can be able to change. You are in a position of power rather than where you are actually in a position of victim. All right? You see the difference? Okay. I hope that helps. All right? So let's look at another distorted way of thinking. Okay? So, which in itself, this sometimes distorted way of thinking, we take them as factual. We think that, and we don't realize that. We take some of them has become our pattern way of thinking. All right? Now, let's say, for example, I'm saying, I should be further in my career. Or maybe the simple one, I should be feeling this way. I shouldn't feel this way. They should treat me better. The word should or must or those kind of things. Should, it's really, when you think of it, it's a silent, what is the better word? It's a silent tyranny, you know? So that silent tyranny, it can create guilt when you don't meet those should, you understand? For you as an individual, it can create those guilt. Now you feel guilt, you know, I should be further in my career. So now what does it do? It creates guilt because I haven't met that. But it can also create resentment when others don't. Now, from yourself, it can create guilt. From others, it can create actually resentment. They should treat me better. They should treat me better. If that is not what happened, what does it create? It create that resentment because others, you believe others should have actually been doing that. And the worst part is, they are often, this kind of should, often always based on unrealistic or unspoken, some kind of unspoken rules. It's something that we create. They should treat me better based on what? It's those kind of unspoken rules. So, and think of many other things that we normally apply this should, need to, those kind of things. Eh? It's not a law that is there. It's some kind of unrealistic rules that we create. Eh? It's like when you say life should be fair. Based on what? But based on what? It's kind of like a rule that is unspoken. And sometimes these rules, this unspoken, become our fundamental value. And in themselves, they are not factual. They are not factual. And then as a fundamental value, and remember, as I said, they are not factual in a way. So what do they become? They become our way of thinking. And in the way of thinking, this way of thinking is actually distorted. And then now influences your thinking, influences your behavior, influences your emotions. You become guilty by believing that you should have, you know, you should be further in your career. You understand? Based on what? So, some choices that you make in life is this. When you say, I should have been, it should be, you wouldn't know because it's not a choice you made. You are what you are because of a choice, because of the path you have taken. You wouldn't know. You could maybe refer to, maybe looking at the other people and said, well, people who have gone that way actually went on to do what. But your circumstances could have been different. You understand? We could have chosen exactly the same path, but those same paths are not experienced in the same way. So should have, it doesn't, you know, it's those kind of things. So now you start actually feeling guilty by what Ngeno could have been. But that's not the life. Eh? Because you wouldn't know what would have taken, what would have transpired. You would only know your life is only what it is, not what it could have been. Because what it could have been is nothing. And your life can't be nothing. It's what it is. Are you following? So Imam say, I should be doing it all. I should be doing it all. Work, work, kids, home, self-care, everything. And still be happy. Now, when she can't, she feels she's like a failure. She feels that she's a failure. Eh? So maybe it's looking at, sometimes when we're looking from other side, outside from, we're looking at other people's life from outside, we think that, wow, they have a, you know, they can be able to do that and that and that and that. Yeah? So, and in their own environment, their environment might not be actually like our environment. And therefore you cannot actually compare that, you know, they do it all and I can't, because you're not in the same, exactly, you're not in the same environment. So those shoulds become distorted. So what you see and apply that to yourself is a distorted way of looking at it. It's not a factual in your situation. That's not factual. It's not truth. And certain thoughts that you're creating, these are thoughts, the thoughts are not factual. And those thoughts are the one that we're looking at, that those thoughts are distorted. And they may influence the way how you look at things, the way the choices that you make, and those are the things that I want you to look at. So when now she say she can't, And when now she can't, you know, when now she can't be able to do all those work, kids and home and self-care, all those kind of things. Now she feel like she's a failure. Now, where does that, where did that rule come from? So where does that rule come from? So definitely it comes from society. Someone tells you that you should be able to do this and that and that and that and that. And you take that as a truth. Or it comes from a social media. Or it comes from your childhood message. Eh? Maybe something that you're growing up being told. Would it be true in every circumstances and every time, you know, might not be true. All right. So should is often when it's come to those should, need to, must do. This often hides, sometimes in most cases actually hide our old wounds, you know. They do often hide our old wounds in terms of, you know, kind of looking at this, what happens, and looking at now what should have been, you know, to actually then kind of like, you know, put a blanket to that. You understand? Now, and next time when you find yourself in this way of thinking, in this distorted way of thinking, try to replace the should, you know, that should with I want or I choose. You know, it make a difference. These are little things when I'm talking to you, but they make a difference in your attitude, in your perspective. So I choose to walk later. I choose to walk later tonight. And that's okay. I want to be more patient. So I'm practicing. So for example, I choose, you know, eh? So what is it? What did I say earlier? I choose to, you know, I choose to feel this way. I shouldn't feel this way. Eh? So now, you see, when you said, I shouldn't feel this way, I choose to feel this way. It makes me, I acknowledge that I am responsible for that. And it's only when I can be able to do something. When I say, I shouldn't feel this way, you know, it's whole question, you know, do you see the, how that can create different attitudes? I shouldn't feel this way. So I'm kind of like stressed because now what I shouldn't feel this way. And I'm so stressed. But if I say I choose to feel this way, it means that I can decide to stop feeling this way. So this, it's little, your mind, you, it's little things that you now that actually it those things removes the judgment. It removes the judgment and it brings back that choice, that this choice is mine. And it brings back the power to you rather than you being the victim. Yeah. So try to do that. It will make a difference. It will make a hell of a difference. Believe me. So much of changing how you look at life is not a dramatic thing because it's exactly the same process that create a negative emotion in you. It's the same process that you can use to change that. You understand? Exactly the same that you can use actually to change, to be happy, to look at the life differently. Eh? So, because you have actually adopted or this has become a pattern, a distorted pattern in your way of thinking, you may not even realize that that's the case for you. All right? So this one is my favorite one. All right. This one is my favorite one because many people feel this way. It's something that we don't really recognize quite often. Now, So I feel it, and therefore, so it must be true. I feel this way, it must be true. So let's take some. So I feel like a failure. So, like, I feel like a failure. So I must be a failure. I'm a failure. Or I feel unloved. So no one could love me. So you see, so I feel, just because I feel that, so I think that no one could love me. I feel anxious. So you know that when people something kind of, you know what, I feel anxious. Something bad will happen. Have you met that kind of people thinking that way? I feel so anxious. Something bad is going to happen. So do you know what this is called? This is called emotional reasoning. You know, it's called emotional reasoning, where we are treating feeling as fact. So we are actually treating the way you feel as fact. But my friend, the feeling are not truth. The feelings are not truth. And that's a fact. So they are signals. All right. The feeling are signals. They are signals. They are reactions. So, but they are not truth. They are not facts. It's a kind of like a weather pattern in your mind. Eh? Think of like weather pattern in your mind. So because think of this. So you can feel unqualified, for example. I can feel, I'm talking about feeling. I'm not saying I'm not qualified. So I can feel unqualified and still be at, and you still be the best. You can still be the best person for your job. Eh? You can feel unqualified, but still be the best person for the job. You can still be the best person for the job, but you feel unqualified. It doesn't mean you're not qualified. It's just a feeling. It's not a fact. It's not a truth. We call it emotional reasoning. Or you can feel insecure and still be actually loved deeply. Somebody can still love you deeply and all that. But you have this insecurity. Huh? Or you, let's say for you have an anxiety before a speech. Okay? Your heart races, your brain screams. You know, I will mess up. Your brain screams that you're going to mess up. But you go on. And then when you're gone, you do fine. Maybe even great. You see? The feeling, the anxious feeling before your speech, even your heart races and your brain is killing, you're going to mess it up. You're going to mess it up. And then you collect yourself, you go on, and you do fine. And you even probably just even do great. You see? So what is the feeling? It was fear. Nothing more. It was just fear, nothing more. It was not the fact. It was not the truth. So now, so just because that, now in this case, if you find yourself in this kind of way of thinking, now I want you now to notice that. All right. Let's get to a caller and see what has to say. Good morning. Welcome to Mind Matters.
Yes, good morning, Mike.
Good morning. Are you in control of your mind?
Yeah, sometimes we are in check, but many a times the things are not balancing.
Things are not balancing.
You try to control this other one. You try to put this one in control. A lot of things are coming from outside, from within. Ah!
The problem is that you try to be in control of things that you cannot be able to control.
That's the problem. Now.
Exactly.
So because you expect others to do what you wish or like.
Yeah.
But it's not always like that, man.
Exactly.
Until you get frustrated and disappointed, then you become very anxious and worried. And until
when you just say something that is very, very important, and yeah, you know, and it's a good recognition. It's a good acknowledgement to say you actually want other people to do things that you want, you know, but that they are always not do what you want. And then what happened? You get frustrated, you are whatever. So it means that we actually something, we asking ourselves, we putting ourselves to actually in a position where it's impossible because you cannot control what other people should do.
Exactly.
It is not in your power at all. Now you get frustrated of something that you cannot be able to control.
Exactly. Because really, some of these issues, and these are the issues that really bring some kind of anxiety,
yeah,
some kind of worry, and you end up getting depressed.
Yeah.
Even when you see somebody, let's say somebody has annoyed you.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe unknowingly or intentionally, but you know that there are also situations which are beyond your control. There's nothing you can do about that person.
Yeah.
You can aid that. If you take up the fight with the person, the law will be again on your side, on you.
Exactly.
So, but again, there's nothing that you can actually you can do.
Exactly. That's
the
point.
The only thing that you can do is to pray for that person for God to change and transform.
Exactly. So you're exactly saying that. You see, they and that's the acknowledgement. Once you understand that, it changes how you are, how you relate to that. He said, mm-hmm. "I can't change how this person relate to me. I can't change how this person would talk to me or what they would say. All I can change, and once I understand that, all I can change is how I relate to what he says or what he does for my own sake, you know? Because if I get tuned, because the other person, remember this, I always tell people like this, think this way. If I insult you, what do I want to achieve? If I insult you, I want to hurt you. You understand?
Now,
if you respond in the way that you are hurt, then I'm happy because I have achieved what I want.
It's the strategy of the devil, actually.
Exactly. Now I have you are the one who have to recognize that. Well, why would I let actually that person achieve, do the control me? Now, you want to hurt me. And I'm going to just fall into what he wants to do. Eh?
You see?
So you just exactly fall into what he wants to do. And now you are hurt. And the person goes home. He's having his dinner, enjoying.
He's happy.
Exactly.
He's rejoicing.
Because he hurt you. Because he achieved what he wanted. And now you are here. You are not sleeping. Your blood pressure goes up. You end up, you know, you end up being going to BP and you see.
Honestly speaking,
yeah,
we just need to understand how to control our emotions. The way we, even on the other side, because let's say now maybe the person is annoyed.
Yeah.
And you have annoyed that person and you are also not in the position perhaps because of the intensity of the situation.
Yeah.
If you go there, obviously, you might fuel up the situation again, become more worse.
Yeah.
But the approach, like you say, how we react to those situations.
Yeah.
Really matters to our heads.
Exactly.
Because if we react in a very aggressive or negative manner, and whatever you confess, provided it's negative.
Yeah.
So it will give you the same negative result. And they end up actually even fighting the person, end up getting frustrated and worried. And that worry will then be, you actually carry it out to other people within your cycle.
Yeah.
And then you start shouting at them and just because of that thing.
Exactly.
Because you cannot control your emotion.
Yeah.
You know, it's something very difficult. But once you recognize that, yes, this particular situation or behavior, there's nothing that I can do, especially when you are expecting some of those things from other people who do not even know or have been aware that you are actually feeling bad. Even if they are aware that you are feeling bad, sad, and that they have really annoyed you, they have provoked you to anger.
Yeah.
The moment that you act, and you sin by hurting yourself, I think that is a very, very serious problem.
Yeah. No, that, the point,
even end up,
yeah. The point you're making is very, it's very important. And when you, when now you're saying, we have to control our emotion, and that everybody wants to do that, but we have to understand that we have to understand ourselves and how do we generate emotions. Once you understand how do I actually generate the emotion within myself, you know, so I generate emotion within myself in the way how I think, you see, in the way how I think generate the way I feel. So that means if someone insults me, okay, now how do I take that insult? I take that insult now. I generate I'm the one who is generating the thinking within me now. This person is insulting. What do they think they are? Eh? Who they think they are? Do they think they are better than me? You see, this kind of reasoning, this kind of reasoning now is fueling the fire now, you know. But if someone insults you and you say, maybe you just said, this person must be crazy before, or something.
Let me not cut you before you go ahead. So that I don't forget this important point. That's why it's also very important to use some of these existing structures when there are disputes, when there are some kind of squabbling, or just some kind of bitterness within ourselves.
Yeah.
So, you know, my mother, that's why, and many, many other people actually, but particularly my mother.
Yeah.
And never, once she hears that you people, she had heard that you people, there were some kind of quarreling, you were fighting and things like that.
Yeah.
She will just call you. She doesn't even give me, so she will tell you, So that is proper counseling, just like the way you are giving it to us.
Exactly, yeah.
So now if you, and then it goes on with you,
yeah.
The time when you find yourself in a situation, even if it's more provocative, you always say, it comes in, they say, my mother said, why should we have to fight? Why do you? So it keeps on building you. But most of those structures are existing in informal structures. We don't use them. Yeah. We rather learn it to the people who are not even there, like you, psychologists and social workers and all these other things.
Yeah.
But it is very difficult to follow that formality, you know?
It is. It's not an easy thing. Anything that is good is always difficult. the most easiest thing to follow, it's not productive, you know.
Yeah, in the broader way.
Yeah, yeah.
Where the Mambudas and everything are found.
Exactly.
I think this program is just very important because, especially when we are having this issue of mental health, and fitness. This suicide prevention and this is getting out of control, especially when it's targeting more men, because we also look at it from a gender perspective.
Yeah.
But it's really important that at least we just need some kind of awareness, critical awareness, in terms of emotional intelligence, so that at least when you are aware of your emotion, you are able to control, even if they are to hurt somebody else.
Yeah.
Then you are able to feel that, yes, if I put myself in these things, because most of us, we have experienced some of those experiences that you are talking about. And if you know and you become aware of them, at least you are not able to minister some kind of pain to other people, because they might end up even committing suicide. They might even end up going to beat other children or somebody else just because of your own situation. You are the one who has caused this kind of situation, and now you are also not going to be blameless.
So some people don't realize one thing that we don't realize is this, and we started to know as we grow, as the field, certain field of study or science become more open. We don't realize that whatever you do, whether it's business, whether you're a leader in a political institutions, if your mental state is not right. If your mental state is not right, you will not be able, you will not be capable, you are not in a capable state to manage and lead others.
Let's also put physical stability.
Yeah.
Today I was also listening to issues of sport and things like that, the mental issues. But many a times, the mental, of course, needs to work, more especially if we keep on starting, maybe, for example, exercising, reading, and things like that, to help the mental health state. But then the physical stability.
Yeah.
So that also play a role.
Of course.
Because to the mind.
Exactly.
And I have discovered that if you allow your body and your mind to become fatigued.
Yeah.
So it, they all have to be, it's a compound now kind of thing.
The mind, body, and soul. Down. Yeah, mind, body, and soul all are connected.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You see, now this thing.
Yeah.
No, thank you very much, Mike. I don't know how these things can really sink into the heart of the people,
yeah.
Especially men.
Mm.
Although there are programs going on there, men engage in what,
yeah.
Men, what is it? Those kind of programs that are being conducted there, I just feel that these are more formality.
Yeah.
And if they are more formality, they become very rigid.
Yeah.
In
yeah.
terms of us tapping in there.
Yeah.
So because, like you say, these kind of things are, they become very difficult to access.
Yeah.
But in terms of informal, where you can just get in there, discuss with the people who are talking, those who want to kill, to fight because they are playing, what is it? Playing, you know, Unimabe, how is that?
Yeah.
All those things. So I don't know how we can penetrate in that area.
Yeah. It's a small process. It's a very small process, mental process. I mean, mental change. It's a very, very small process and it takes time and it takes a way that we do different things differently to start thinking differently. Yeah.
Thank you very much, Mike, for giving me an opportunity.
No, thanks for coming through and for your contribution as well.
God bless.
All right.
All right. Thank you for coming through, Uncle Bwana. Yes, you can do the same. Our telephone number is always 333-66091. As I always said, you know, experience help us to broaden our understanding and even, you know, be able to, you know, to go into some of examples that maybe, you know, from where you're coming from your background, how you're looking at these, how you treat this. So that's very, very, very important. Yeah. So the other distortion, pattern way, the thinking way, a distorted thinking way of looking at life or something that can become a pattern that we don't even recognize in ourselves. Let me just give you an idea. You have to change for me, you know, that kind of thinking. Let's say, for example, I'm jealous. Okay. You said, I'm jealous, so you shouldn't talk to other people. Yeah. You see, you're jealous because the other people, but now you kind of like, I'm jealous because you are talking. No, now you're giving this feeling, you're giving your responsibility to the other person, you know, for your feeling. So I'm lonely, so you must be available all the time. You understand? I'm stressed, so you need to fix this. So you're giving kind of a responsibility to someone else for your feeling. And that psychologically we call that a fallacy of change, you know, believing someone must change to make you happy. And overall, really, much of the time, that's how we are. So that's how we are. We have to think that others have to change so that we can be happy, you know, and that's a fallacy. So that's a distorted way of thinking. So where you think I'm jealousy and therefore you shouldn't be talking to the other people. So you're limiting other people not to talk to other people, maybe especially to men or to women, so that you can't be jealous. So you understand. So you're kind of limiting a person to be always with you so that you can't be alone. You know, I'm lonely, so you must be available all the time. So you are stressed and you're thinking you, someone has to fix that. So because you're being stressed by, you know, so that is a fallacy of change, you know. But now, one thing that you really have to really understand, and maybe that's also one thing that Uncle Bora was referring to, that you need to pay attention to. You cannot change people. You cannot change people. That's the truth. I always said, take this to the bank. Yeah. You cannot change, you cannot change the person if they themselves are not willing to change. You can only change yourself. You can't change other people. Now, for children, that's possible because they are afraid. You know, if I don't do this, my mother wouldn't, maybe wouldn't give me this, and maybe my father wouldn't do this for me, or maybe they will beat me up. Children can change, not because they see the reason, it's just because they change because of fear. Whatever that fear, either it's a realistic fear or unrealistic fear, they change because of fear. Because my mother would probably be angry, so therefore I need to change. Or my mother would be disappointed about me, so I need to do this. You know, or my father wouldn't do this, or some whatever would beat me up, or what the case may be, would reprimand me. You see, they do change not because of the reason, because of that fear. So when they grow up, when they become now adult, adult only change for what they see is beneficial for them. You understand? So people only change for what they see as beneficial for them. No matter what, anything that you do, believe me, I always said, we all are selfish. That's how we made. I'm not talking that we are selfish in a bad way. It's just that the way how we made. We all made to survive. Okay? That's how we made. For you to live, for you to stay alive, you need to survive. Okay? That's how we are made. Okay? And in some way, whatever we do, it's for our survival. It's for our happiness. Whatever you do, it's for your own happiness. But you know, you can say, no, but what when I do, when I'm doing something for other people, so let's say for my gym, what do I gain out of that? So why did you get a child for the first place? Because you wanted a child. So in wanting a child, you want to be responsible, isn't it? And by doing that, it makes you feel you're a good mother, you're a good father, you are whatever. So it's still about you. Yes, it benefits others, but it's all feel about you. Anything that you do, it's for you. Believe me, there is nothing. Believe me, you can come through, tell me that you do, and let's argue a little bit. Okay? Tell me what you do. That's not about you. That has nothing absolutely to do with you. So, well, and I'm not saying what you do doesn't benefit the other person. It does. Even when you throw, you know, when you give someone who is begging, what do I gain from that? You do gain something. What does your religion require? Maybe why do you do that? I do it because my religion called me to help the poor. So, your religion called you to do the poor, and when you give the poor, when you give to the poor, how does that make you feel? You think that you have contributed to what God have asked you to do, isn't it? It has to do with you. Think of anything. All right? So maybe I have done something because, you know, I just to help somebody, but your feeling that I have helped somebody and they feel good that I helped them, it still has to do with you. So now when we come to the fallacy of change, you know, that you have to change for me, Okay? So make sure, understand that you can't change people. You can't change people. You can only change yourself. So, in trying to control others, when you're trying to control others, sometimes that also destroys trust. It destroys trust. It creates resentment. And it also, and this is very important, it also kills intimacy. That's for another day. But I'm just saying, when you try to control others, it can, in a relationship, it can kill intimacy. So, now, there are healthy alternatives, okay? In way looking how you, when we talk about the fallacy of change. So, say maybe what you need, not what you should do. So, you see the difference, what I need, and there's a difference between what I need and what it should be, what you think it should, it's kind of like a obligatory, you know? This is what I need. I talk about my, I feel insecure when we don't talk. You see, I feel insecure when we don't talk. I would love more connection. You know? So you see the difference. Now, then when I say you never make time. You are so selfish. You see the way that the difference where I feel insecure when we don't talk. Please, I would love that we connect more. Okay? You don't talk to me. You are so selfish, or you never make time. Eh? You are so selfish. So I'm so conclusive about you. I'm not giving you any opportunity. It's not even about me. The way, that's why I said you make me feel. Remember that way of the thinking is a distorted way of thinking as well. So you make me, you don't make that. You never make time. So you're selfish. So by not making time, I'm conclusive that you're selfish. I'm putting an identity on you. So, when you look at this, if I say I feel insecure when we don't talk, and I love us to make more connection. And when I say you never make time, and you are so selfish in that way. So you look that the other one invites dialogue. And this is something very important when you are in a relationship. Make sure that most of the time the other one I'm saying first, is actually inviting dialogue. The second one actually start war. So when now you tell the person you never made time, you're so selfish, what does that invite actually dialogue? Does that invite an open communication to discuss? No, it's actually asking the other one to defend himself. Yeah? So the way he's going to respond to you, but, you know, but you also do what and what and what. You see how now the conversation will go. So these are really smaller things when you're looking at that, but we don't pay attention. They are the one that determines our life. They are the one that determines. And I have seen this. I have seen this at work. You know, I have seen this at work, how we communicate. You know, I have seen it work. I have seen it at home. You know, how we communicate. I have seen it with friends, how we communicate it. I have seen it with, you know, family members, how we communicate. So it is very important. Small, and that make a difference. So if I learn to actually, like as I said, if I learn to take control of my own emotions, okay, of what I'm going through, rather than actually, you know, blame it on others, that make a huge difference. Eh? But then I start to blame. We were talking about blaming already. Now we're talking about the fallacy of change, you know. So, and if I just, you know, you never make time, you know, you're so selfish. Does that invite actually dialogue? Does that invite communication? No, it doesn't. Yeah. So, those are some of the things. Those are the fallacies that we're looking at. These are the lie. These are the thinking, some common thinking pattern that we have developed, which are actually distorted. And as I said, these influence the way we think, the way we feel, and the way how we behave. All right? So, it has been a while. I've been talking too much now. I've been talking for a while. So, yeah, please do come through. Our telephone number is always 333-66-0991. We're coming to you live from Ondangwa. Ondangwa studio, so that's our telephone number. In the studio, you may come through and share and also have your opinion or your experience, okay, of what we're talking about. All right, let's look at, let's go a little bit back, you know, No Scrubs, you know TLC, No Scrubs. Okay, we're going to have that one. Let's have a music break and No Stress. No Scrubs, not No Stress. No Scrubs by TLC.
A scrub is a guy that thinks he's fine, is also known as a buster. Always talking about what he wants and just sits on his block. So, no, I don't want your number. No, I don't wanna give you mine. And no, I don't wanna meet you nowhere. No, I don't want none of your time. And no, I don't want no scrub. The scrub is a guy that can't get no love from me. Hanging on the passenger side of his best friend's ride.
Never rising. I don't find it surprising if you don't have the cheese to please me and bounce from here to the coast of overseas. So let me give you something to think about. Inundate your mind with intentions to turn you out. Can't forget to focus on the picture in front of me. Do it clear as DVD on digital TV screens. Satisfy my appetite with something spectacular. Check your vernacular and then I get back to ya. With diamond like precision, insatiable is what I envision. Can't detect acquisition from your friend's expedition. Mister, get with me if you really wanna know. Could I be a silly? Not really. T-bars and all my senoritas and stepping on your feet lies, but you don't hit me though.
No, I don't want no scrub. A scrub is a guy that can't.
Scrubs can't get no love from me. That's TLC. That's TLC. No Scrubs. Hopefully you wanna. Very good morning, or is this afternoon? Is this afternoon or good morning? When it's, I don't know when afternoon start. Does it just start at 12 or does it start at 1? So, it's about 20 minutes, before we come to the end of, Mind Matters. I hope you have been listening. And I know you have been listening. Yeah, so our time is about 40 minutes, you know, past the hour of 12. We still have got about 20 minutes, and you're still welcome to come through and have your say and your contribution to what we have been talking about today. So what are we looking at? We're looking at certain thinking patterns. You know, we normally say this, we in psychology it's referred to as cognitive, you know, distortions. It's a kind of a mental way of thinking, that, could have become a pattern in the way you think that are somehow distorted, you know? And, and much of those, and we find ourselves in this kind of way of thinking, quite often, sometime without even realizing it could have become a pattern of way that I think. There's another one that we might find ourselves, and this is also a distorted way of thinking. So where we take a single behavior, let's say for example, you take a single beer and actually turn that in identity. I talked about that a little bit earlier also, maybe referring to something I was talking earlier. So a single behavior and turn that into an identity. Say for example, let me give you an example. We have, this is a cousin of mine. There's one of her kid. I don't know, how do you call them? How do I call them? My cousin's children, what are they to me? All right, I don't know, in English. So, now, she refuses to eat broccoli. You know? She refuses to eat broccoli, you know, that vegetable, you know, and then, you know, and someone just referred to them as she's a picky eater. You understand? It's a picky eater. So one behavior, just, you see, that's why I say you take a single behavior and turn it into an identity. All right. So, and now you actually now refer that person as a picky person, a picky eater, you know, just because of one behavior. Or you could be maybe a coworker snap at you. Okay. He step at you at once at work. And as something I said at the beginning, and you refer to them as a jerk. Okay. I make that an example earlier on. So now you now place that identity, you turn him into that identity as a jerk. He's a jerk. And normally people say, think of the things that you say about someone. Sometimes it's just one behavior, just a behavior. A person just did something and we kind of now generalize it and actually turn that into an identity of that person. That's a distorted way of thinking. Because it's just a particular, it's just a single behavior. Okay? So, it could be someone you go on for a date, you know, you go on a date and then you pick up a certain behavior, just a behavior on that particular date. And now that's how you think, okay, this person is this way. This person is weird. What did he do? No, when we were on the date, he did this and this and this. So, then you actually turn that into the identity. So this is who they are. Yeah? And it could be just a behavior on that day. So that's a distorted way of thinking. Okay. And we do that. Now, what the reason of that, do you know why that's a problem? Because then we turn that into identity of that particular person, and that now becomes that we relate to that person based on that distorted way of how we think about that person. So you understand? It's not their identity, but we turn that behavior into
their identity. And now we relate to them based on that. So, and that's normally, it's referred to as a global laboring. We're laboring a person based on a single behavior and turn that into an identity for them. So, and you have to understand that people are not labels. You are not a label. You are not stupid just because you forgot a name. Eh? So, someone said, this person you forgot, because you forgot a name, you're stupid? No. Or you're not bad just because you lost your temper? Eh? So behind these labels, because behind of these labels, they are human beings. Eh? Behind those labels that you create, the identity that you, they are human beings. Complex. Complex human beings. Human beings who are learning. Human beings who are growing. Eh? So I just want you to really pay attention and understanding that, you know, by laboring this person, you know, and by turning that behavior into the identity of this person, you're actually not doing justice to yourself and to the other persons. One, you start to relate to them based on that identity that you have given them. Yes, they behave in a certain way. Once, could be twice, it doesn't matter. Huh? So maybe one thing that you can do, okay, to help you in terms of this, it's really swapping. You swap labels for description. Okay? Swap labels for description. Instead of that could be also about yourself anyway. It's not only about other people. It could be also about yourself. So you may actually have done something and you think that you are a failure. You are a failure. And that create, first of all, by calling yourself a failure, what does it give you? It gives you that depressive mood. Eh? And if you are not in that depressive mood, you may not want to do anything. You see how that actually affects you because of the label that you put on yourself, just because of one act. So instead of I'm a failure, as I said, you swap that labels with description, with kind of a description that I failed this time. For example, you know, that's a description. I failed this time. What this means is this. What I'm trying to give you a difference is that I'm a failure, then I failed this time. It means that, yes, I failed this time, but it doesn't mean I will always fail. This changes a perspective to life. This changes attitude to life. This changes outlook to life. In the way how you prescribe this, saying this. Eh? So instead of they are selfish, you know, they acted selfishly in that moment. You see the difference? So they are selfish, it kind of become an identity for them. It's like they are selfish. So it means that every time they will be that way. That's who they are. No, they acted selfishly in that moment. I don't know what's going to happen in the future. Maybe they will learn from their behavior and change. You never know. And in most cases, we do. That's why I said behind those labels, they are human beings. Complex, learning. And once they learn that was actually something wrong to do, they change. But you still keep that label. They are selfish. They are selfish. They no longer actually act in that way. They learn from it. But you're still acting now. You see, you're still acting in that way, which actually they have abandoned. A behavior probably they have abandoned long time ago. It's a distorted way of thinking. And if that becomes a pattern for you, it can actually influence your relationship. It can influence your work. It can influence your outlook at life, your confidence, whatever, you know? So one thing that you have to understand, okay? One thing that you have to understand, words shape reality. Words shape reality. And choose them wisely. All right? Choose them wisely because words shape reality. I am a failure shapes reality. I failed this time shape reality, different reality. You understand? So you have to, you know, you have, that's very important. And that's why we, when we fight and all this, it's because of the words that we use and how we shape and how we communicate them. And that communication, when you communicate something, it's not just communication out there. When you communicate to your mind. You also communicate to your mind. Whether now you're talking to someone, you are so stupid. Okay? Your mind now capture that and said, okay, this person is stupid. And every time now, it actually said, every time you see that person, it's a stupid person. You understand? You're not only communicating to that person whatever you say, you're also saying it back to you, to your subconscious. So you're telling it every time now you see that person, he's a cheater. All right? Now, so your mind every time now, when you see that person, next time you see them, your mind will remind you, okay, remember, that's a cheater. Oh, but he's saying this nice thing to me. He's a cheater. You understand? Eh? So you always have this double communication. Whoever you're telling something, it's also, you're actually talking back to yourself as well, telling your subconscious, okay, you keep that information. It's within you. It's kept. Okay? And that's why you continue to act in a way different. No matter how much you see them different now, look different, doing certain things differently. No, you still have that information. You still actually stuck to that information. And it determines, it stipulates, it dictates how you behave. All right? So, do you remember... Do you remember, there's also these people, or you, or me, who always have the need to win. You know, that need to win. You argue about a movie plot, or politics, or where you ate last week, and you need to prove your point. Yeah? All the time. You need to prove your point. Even if it costs the relationship, and this is where now, even if it costs the relationship, even if it's not that important. So, the need to always being right. That could be a thinking pattern. The need to be always right. It's a distorted way of thinking. And do you know what it does? It's going to cost you a relationship. It's going to cost you a friendship. It's going to cost you, whatever. And do you know where that is coming from? It's always being. When you always being right, it's not about truth. Sometimes always being right is not about truth. It's about ego. So it is a fear of being wrong. A fear of looking foolish. Eh? But here's a secret. Being wrong, it doesn't make you weak. Eh? It makes you human. Do you know what sometimes I do? Sometimes I, and this is very important, I let someone else be right. You know, I let someone else being right. Sometimes I just let someone being right. You know what? And that is actually a strength. I don't see it as a weakness. It's a strength. So now because, and this is something that you need to ask yourself. It's not just letting someone being right, you know, you ask yourself, is being right worth, look, in this case, being right, is it worth losing peace? Is it really worth losing my peace or the peace in my environment? Is it worth losing my connection with this person, my friendship? With this person. Is it worth being right? Worth losing them. And remember, as I said, sometimes it's not about being, it's not about truth. It's about ego. Eh? So where just you don't want to be wrong, you fear being wrong or fear being foolish or whatever the case may be. So, yeah. So that's something that you need to, when you find yourself the need to be right, as I said, these are some of the distorted way of thinking pattern that we develop, which we sometimes don't even realize that you have that. It's a time for you to ask yourself. And even when you find you in your relationship, there are moments you must pick your fight. You must pick your war. Certain wars are not worth fighting. Eh? Some are just for the sake of being right. You lose a relationship, you lose a friendship, you lose a connection, you're having a good connection, and you lose just that, you lose that connection, so just being, you know, for the need. Now, this is what I want you to notice about yourself, the need to be right. There are certain things just you let go. You lose nothing, and you gain your connection, you gain your relationship. Eh? Yeah. So maybe the last one that we can look at, this distorted way of thinking, is good things come to good people. Good things come to good people. Is that true? Is that a fact? You work hard. You are kind. You do the right thing. And what do you expect? You expect a reward. You expect that the way I do this, I do kind things, I do the right things. You know, your expectation is that a reward for doing that. But my friend, life, it doesn't keep scores. Life, it does not keep scores. You can be the most generous person in the world and still face loss. You can still face loss, you know. You can be an honest person and still be betrayed. That's life. You can show up every day. Show up every day. Eh? And still not be paid. No, and still not be noticed. Eh? And still not be noticed. So, well, this is, it's called, psychologically, it's called a heaven's reward fallacy. Okay, a heaven's reward kind of fallacy. And it sets you up for disappointment. So, now, well, okay, what I'm saying is that the shift is that, what the shift that you can make is still do good. Do good, do good things. I'm not saying don't do good things. Do good things, not for reward. Because in this way of thinking is that, you know, for me working hard, being kind, doing the right things, I'm expected the reward. So, but do good things, not for reward, but because they matter. Because you matter. Because it reflects your values. Okay? Not because you're expecting the reward, because these reflect who you are, your values. So, when you act from integrity, not expectations, you become, you know, you become untouchable by disappointment. You become disappointed because you have an expectations. Yeah? Most of the time, you become disappointed because you have the expectations. So are we doomed? You know, when we're looking at all this, are we doomed? Is our brain just a liar? We can't escape? No. As we have seen, yeah? And as we have seen, and as I talked about, and this is the beautiful part, okay? This is the beautiful part. Recognizing now this distortion, recognizing this lie of our mind, that's actually the first step. Okay? That's actually the first step to freedom, if you want. Your brain lies. Eh? Your brain lies. But you are not your brain. Eh? You are not your brain. You are the observer. You are the chooser. You are the witness. Okay? So you are not your brain. And once you see the tricks, you can ask, you know, then you can question them. When you see the trick now, you can question them. You can say, wait. Is that true? Is this true? Or is it my brain filtering? Look at the things that we talked about. Is this is true or is my brain actually filtering? Is this is true or is my brain is catastrophizing? Is it true or my brain is judging to conclusion? Is it true or is my brain generalizing? Is this true or is my brain actually personalizing? Is it true or is my brain blaming? You know. So we can, you can, this is what it is. You don't have to believe every thought. You don't have to believe every thought. In fact, the goal is not to stop having distorted thoughts. This is not the goal. The goal is that you notice them. This will always pop up. They will pop up. It has become, for some of you that could have, or some of us that could have become actually a pattern the way you think. So now is the question is, are you able to notice that? And once you notice that, don't let them steer the ship. Don't let them now steer, dictate how you feel, how you react. So I will leave you with this. You are not broken. You are not weak. You are not failing because your brain plays tricks. And that's normal, actually. That's normal. That's human. That's expected. So, but you are more powerful than your thoughts. You are very powerful than your thoughts. You can rewire your thought. You can respond. You can, and not react. You can respond and not react. So you can choose compassion over criticism. Yeah? And every time you catch your brain lying, you grow stronger. So that's how you, you know, you grow stronger. So today, start small. You can start small. Catch one distortion. Look at some of those who have talked. Catch one distortion. Name it. And, you know, and then choose a kinder or a truer story than what your brain is telling you. All right? So because the mind matters, and so do you. So this is Michael Chiavelli. And I'm reminding you, you are not your thoughts. You are the sky. They say the sky is the limit. You are the sky. And the thoughts and your thoughts and the thoughts, they are just passing clouds. Okay? So they are just passing clouds. So thank you for listening to Mind Matters. Our time is about 3 minutes past the hour of 1 o'clock. So thanks for listening to Mind Matters, and we will be back again next week, same time, same place, with more tools to help you live with more clarity, with more calm, and with more courage. So I'm going to leave you in the hands of the queen they call, the Madam Boz, the Madam, you know, I shouldn't name her, I shouldn't give her names that maybe she wouldn't love. But is Elizabeth Waltz coming up with Elizabeth? So stay tuned. And let me just leave you with which music I haven't had for a while. Let's go to Whitney Houston. The Heartbreak Hotel. Okay, I'm going to leave you with that song, and she's going to take over in a few minutes. We cross his back to Windhoek, and have a pleasant, you know, and a beautiful Saturday and the weekend over. I will see you on Monday when we unpack the day. So goodbye.
You'd be here by 9 and said you took your time. You didn't think to call me, but here I sit, trying not to cry, asking myself why you do this to me, oh, baby. Since you're not around for me to tell you, baby, face to face, I'm writing you this letter, and this is what I have to say, yeah.
You know, I will give all my love. I will give all my love. I love this song. All right. Let me use this time to play some of my favorite songs that's coming up. Cat Sweat, you know.
Chris.
Keith.
How you doing?
It's been a long time.
Yes, it has.
In the night, I'm gonna take it real slow. I understand what you told me, and if I didn't know, I always wanted someone. Yeah. what you need.